The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Burma's Auto Berhad has been distributing Mazda vehicles in Malaysia since 2008. Sales have grown from 1,000 in that year, when Burmas took over from Cycle and Carriage, to over 15,000 in the last financial year. Today I have with me the head honcho for Burmas, Datuk Sri Ben Yeo, its CEO and Executive Director. Let's find out how he's grown the Mazda business and what are the plans for Burmas moving forward. Morning, Datuk.
Morning and thanks for inviting me here today.
Ben, your net profit in Q1 has plunged more than 50% year on year and your revenue is down 20%. This is your lowest quarterly earnings since your IPO in 2013. On top of that, your unit sales are down and your market share has dropped. What's happening at Burmas?
Well, as you are aware, we are launching a new model soon. They are now in the preparation stage and we'll probably launch it towards the early part of next month. This is particularly the CX-5. The CX-5, as you are aware, is the locally manufactured model. And this is basically our core volume sales model. And we are at the end of the life cycle of this current product. And a new model will be launched. And hopefully, the enthusiasm and the acceptance of this new model by the consumers would be as good as we anticipate and that the volume will have a natural growth.
Is it also that the rest of your model lineup is also aging in a particularly, which is why you've lost market share against your rivals?
Yes, we are at the end of our product life cycle, but there will be new model launch and it will be done in stages as the manufacturers plan their new models.
Datuk, your primary business is to import, distribute, but you're also involved in manufacturing. Could you please explain your business model further and your overall relationship with Mazda?
As we moved on in distributing the product, we engaged Mazda, realizing that they are very important to us and that there is an opportunity for Mazda to be involved not only in Malaysia but within the region itself. And as a result, we have established a company known as Mazda Malaysia. This basically is a manufacturing entity, which is controlled by Mazda, the principal manufacturer. They have the technical capability and they have the foresight to look at the opportunities within the ASEAN region, capitalizing on the ASEAN Free Trade Agreement, which actually allows them to bring in vehicles to countries like Thailand, Indonesia and the Philippines with zero import duty and also to circumvent the non-tariff barriers.
So from the get-go, you essentially looked at a regional strategy, which is very different from some of your peers in the Malaysian market. But is that an ongoing thing moving forward? What sort of areas are you looking at or which sort of markets besides the ones that you mentioned?
We are basically focusing on the domestic market and the Mazda Corporation is involved in the manufacturing activity. And they are looking at the regional markets. And they will assess the prospects of the regional market and the viability to export to these markets. But what we are fully aware is that the opportunity is there because of the ASEAN Free Trade Agreement. And we are only manufacturing low-volume, high-value vehicles. And this has given opportunity for us to start our localization program, which actually benefits a lot of the local vendors in the supporting industry. We have now established a lot of collaborations between Hiroshima vendors and our local vendors, creating technical opportunities, opportunities for joint ventures, collaboration and technical assistance. So this may enhance the capability of our local vendors and bring them to the level of the international producers.
So you talked about capability development and also obviously then local content that goes into the vehicles. What sort of local content do we have in a CX-5, for example?
Basically, the ASEAN requirements is that you must have 40% cost content. And we have exceeded that in terms of the 40% cost content. And as such, we are able to export within the ASEAN without any issues.
Now, your current relationship with Mazda ends on 31st March 2019. How do you see this evolving? Are there any potential likelihood that perhaps the deal doesn't move forward?
I think it's really common sense that we are already partners, partners in manufacturing, partners in collaborating with Hiroshima vendors, bringing Hiroshima vendors to Malaysia and exposing the opportunity for them to expand their production capability within the ASEAN region. And also, if you look at our operations are not only curtailed towards the domestic market, Malaysia, we are the distributor in Philippines, right? So we are representing Mazda in many areas, and we are also equity partners in Inocom, which is the plant that currently being used by Mazda Malaysia to manufacture those cars for the ASEAN region.
Where do you see Burma's moving in terms of partnerships? You've got Mazda as your anchor partner. Are you looking at other brands to bring into Malaysia?
Of course, I mean, we have to grow the company and we have to bring value to our stakeholders. We are and we will continue to explore opportunities. You know, of course, there should be products that are not conflicting, products that will complement and bring up, you know, the customer retention.
So are you looking at different customer segments that Mazda does not cover? Perhaps, for example, in the luxury space, is that something you're looking at? Or are you looking at a China brand, perhaps, at the low end of the market?
We are looking at every opportunity to expand and to look at different areas. Look at light commercial vehicles, for example, areas like potential brands that we can build upon, like we have done for Mazda. I don't think there is any plans to bring in luxurious brands because we are actually positioning Mazda as a premium Japanese product. So if you look at our product range, the products are aesthetically, you know, very nice, technically very advanced, and we have the latest safety features incorporated into this product. So we are actually building the Mazda brand itself to be a premium Japanese brand. So we do not want to have any other brands within the top echelon conflicting with Mazda. Perhaps we will bring in light commercial vehicles, you know, and some other small volume product that will complement.
The MAA has forecast, along with some analysts, that vehicle sales will not exceed 600,000 this year. What is your view on this?
Well, I think perception of the general economy. I think the consumers are having the perception that the economy is soft. And this is compounded by the fact that many of the automotive players have a high inventory. And when they have inventory, they are doing a lot of discounting, which creates some issues. When you start discounting in the market, consumers will wait for further discounts because they know that, you know, you have high inventories and it's forthcoming. And when you do that, residual values drop. And residual values drop, part exchange, or people who want to buy the car, they find that their residual values have dropped quite a bit. And it doesn't encourage them to change car. Perhaps they will postpone it, you know. And buying a car is a high-ticket item. So it's not an immediate need unless you are a first-time buyer and you are in need of transportation. Then you will go at the lower levels.
So is that the reason also because of the heavy discounting by your competitors and also the fact that residual values are affected, you've also had to engage in discounting, which explains your financial performance and margin compression?
No, we have not really gone into heavy discounting. What we have done is that our volumes has gone down. Margins is basically compressed because of the Forex. You know that we have certain levels of our inventory from Japan directly, CBUs. So this has affected our margins. And we are also running out the CX-5. And when you run out the CX-5, you have to give a certain amount of incentives. And these incentives are not in terms of discounts, but in terms of additional packages, like, for example, extended warranties, extended service intervals, you know, free extended service intervals. These are all packaged, and they are at a cost to us. And this compresses our margins.
Dato Sri, you mentioned also the effect on residual values. Some of your competitors seem to see the used car business as a big growth opportunity. Yet, as part of the research for this grill, I visited your used car pre-owned centre in Glenmarie itself. You don't don't have a lot of inventory. Is that a business that you see an opportunity in, or is it something that you're just present in?
No, we just want to... If you look at our units in operation, we call it vehicle park or UIO, we have very small units in operation. And the demand for our used cars, you know, or pre-owned cars is there. So what we have done is actually we have created a brand, we call it the Anshin, which is basically cars that we either over-trade them, we trade in, or these are products that we use within the company itself. Like, for example, demos, company cars, we refurbish them and sell them. So they are actually good quality pre-owned products that will bring the level of the quality of our used cars. And we have a brand, and that brand is called Anshin. And slowly we will continue to develop this brand.
So do you see Anshin...
It's a secondary brand.
Is Anshin then a growth driver? Will you be adding other brands as part of the Anshin brand name?
No, we will strictly stick to Mazda. The whole objective is actually to make sure that there is a secondary market for the Mazda brand.
I'm speaking to Dato Sri Ben Yeo, CEO and Executive Director of Burmas Auto Berhad. After this, we'll be discussing how Burmas will be evolving to stay relevant in the competitive automotive landscape. Stay with us on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm with Dato Sri Ben Yeo, CEO and Executive Director of Burmas Auto Berhad. Ben, Bain & Company released a global study on September 13, just a few days ago. The study points to a disruptive change in purchasing cars and points to the blending of customer experiences in digital and also physical showrooms. How are you evolving with the times, given changing customer expectations?
I think the customer expectation is very critical, and the disruptive environment is something that we have, you know, to accept, and we have been preparing ourselves in terms of digital technology. If you walk around our showrooms, you will see that there will be presentations of our products in terms of digital formats. You know, you can, because the traditional methods of introducing products is true salesmen. Today, we are presenting our products in digital formats. You can walk into the showroom and have time to yourself, going through the screen and then having a look at the car yourself. And if you then need attention, you know, from the salespeople, you will then be able to seek their assistance. Now, the whole objective is to actually have a pull factor. And we are now creating a lot of opportunity through the digital media for people to be aware of our products. Even if you go to YouTube now, there are a lot of opportunities to engage with our products by going through the technical details. For example, SkyActiv technology, you can actually be well informed of what is SkyActiv technology.
So is SkyActiv, for example, Mazda is a very innovative company from a vehicle technology. Do you use that to attract younger buyers? And if so, how?
Yes, technology is something that's driving Mazda in terms of design technology, in terms of its engine, in terms of its driving performance. All this has to do with advanced technology, digital technology. Look at the GVC, for example. GVC is something that you have computer-assisted technology in terms of the vehicle dynamics. So when you drive...
So what is GVC for the benefit of our listeners?
G-vectoring control. For example, if you were to drive, you know, the natural tendencies to move, you know, together with the vehicle, you know, because of the creation of centrifugal action. But this reaction can be controlled through digital technology by releasing engine torque at certain angles and at a certain engine RPM so that there is a smooth transition from the engine to the transmission. And that means it creates a very stable ambient for the driver and the passenger itself. So within the engine, within the passenger compartment.
So given this technology and the fact that you are an innovator or perceived to be an innovator, do you see young people or young Malaysians shopping for a car, looking at Mazda really as one of their top three choices?
I think the profile of our customers are basically young, and young people are more aware. You know, they like technology, and they look towards not only technology, but a sustainable technology that is also considering environmental issues. For example, our engines are very environmental friendly. They are not only efficient in terms of fuel consumption, the emissions are able to meet the stringent emission regulations. We are one of the cleanest diesel engines with very low oxides of nitrogen, or we call them NOx. And we don't need even an NOx filter for our diesel engines. And we use different kind of technology in the sense that compression ignition means high compression, but in our diesel engines, it's just the reverse. We use low compression, and that means that the heat generated within the combustion chamber is very much reduced, giving less opportunity for the nitrogen gas, which is predominantly 70% of the air intake.
Ben, the automotive industry has undergone tremendous disruption in the last couple of years. You have ride-sharing companies coming in. You have autonomous driving. You've got car manufacturers who are going into service-based models like Tesla, for example. What are you doing as Burmas to ride this wave of business model disruption?
I think in terms of technology, Mazda has looked at opportunities to go into their internal combustion engines, because internal combustion engines actually right now has got a lot of opportunity to improve the performance. So that's one area, improving the internal combustion capability. In other words, the efficiency. We are now moving towards SkyActiv X, which is basically homogeneous charge compression ignition, which is a technology that every automotive manufacturer is trying to improve. But Mazda has created a situation where it is a cross. That's why it's called SkyActiv X, between a spark ignition and a compression ignition. So it's in between. And this will mean that the engine performance or efficiency will improve tremendously. This is one area of improving the internal combustion engines. And we are also electrifying most of our products in terms of reducing the load on the engine itself. Right? This is in terms of better driving dynamics and also better transmission, because transmission is an area where there is a lot of losses, frictional losses. So if you have a very efficient transmission, you actually become more efficient. Now, these are all the areas that we are looking at in terms of mechanical areas. Electrifying it will mean that there will be assistance in terms of regenerative braking systems, and then looking at possibility hybrids and also electrical vehicles. Having said that, these are very expensive technology, electrical and hybrids. Do we really need them? Because batteries, electrical vehicles have big batteries, and these are heavy metal. So it comes back to the original concept of mining for heavy metal as the demand for battery increases. So these are environmental issues. To charge the battery, you need energy. Cheapest is coal energy. Coal energy is the cheapest, right? Unless you have natural source of energy, like in the European areas where you have hydro, electrical energy, you have solar energy. But these are all very expensive to develop. So it's a balanced situation that you have to look at. Where areas, where do you really need that? Is it pollution really the critical issue? Because the demand for transportation will always be there, be it shared, be it, you know. But coming to autonomous vehicle, that is the question that has been asked many. We are developing this. And the autonomous technology is now being seen in the vehicle itself to assess the drivers. This basically improves the safety standards of the vehicle.
Now, coming back to business, you control just under 8% of your company at IPO in 2013, Following a recent corporate exercise last year, you and your management team took control of the business. Why was that done, and what are you going to do with that moving forward?
Basically, we took control of the business and took a big loan. It's because we have an obligation. We build the business and we have an obligation to the people that help us build the business. All our employees, the vendors, you know, and those customers that support us. And going forward, we feel that we should engage them, continue to engage them. And that is the reason why we have taken the responsibility and a big loan continuity purposes.
So as part of that also, your plan to float your Filipino operations, your IPO has been delayed. Is there any particular reason for that?
Well, the market situation changes because initially it was because of the intended adjustment or revise of the excise duty in the Philippines. And I'm sure everybody is aware of that there will be some tax restructuring in the Philippines. And this is one of the reasons for our delay. But going forward, we are re-evaluating whether it's prudent of us to lease the business concern that is Burma's Auto Philippines, because we actually have control over Burma's Auto Philippines and it's a growing market. So perhaps we will reconsider.
Thank you very much for your insights, Ben. I've been speaking to Dato' Sri Ben Yeo, CEO and Executive Director of Burma's Auto Berhad, and you've been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.